Pastor Pete McKenzie of Influencers Men's Ministry.
The enemy's schemes is divide and conquer.
Leadership starts at home. So too does divorce, aiding Satan's plan to divide marriages and conquer families. The national divorce rate is 50%, 60% in California, 72% in Orange County.
The Lord said that to me not too long ago when he said, well, how many times are you going to quote the statistic that 72% of marriages in Orange County are divorcing before you start doing something about it?
Pete McKenzie is a former senior pastor and European missionary who now leads Influencers West Men's Ministry.
So I'm mostly concerned right now for the American church and American marriages, Christian marriages. Because, see, we're the ones that are supposed to be the light on the hill. We're supposed to be the salt of the earth. We're supposed to live with each other in such a way that men would see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven.
The Orange County Register reports 33 people in Orange County initiate divorce proceedings every day, including weekends. Pete is in Irvine for his message today. Leadership starts in the home. Here's Pete McKenzie reading the introduction from the book Sex, Roles, and the Christian Family by psychologist Peter Blitchington.
Its influence reaches into every dimension of the human personality and character. Practically every trait studied by behavioral scientists is related to family practices. From creativity to conscience, from prejudice to friendliness, from values to goals, the entire gamut of human attributes can be traced at least partly to what goes on in the family. The strength of a nation can be fairly effectively gauged by the strength of its families, and the strength of a family can be estimated by the quality of the roles of those in the family. The major problem that we face today is family dysfunction. It's the same problem that all great civilizations have faced during their final years. Divorce, abortion, feminism, declining birth rates, rampant perversions, burgeoning juvenile delinquency are not new. Both Greece and Rome witnessed exactly the same family disruptions that we're experiencing today. These two once powerful nations gained their strength from a sturdy family system. As long as they adhered to the system, both nations were strong. But when the family system was broken, broken also were the spirit and the strength of the nation. There's a specific pattern of family relationships that works, and it works the best. And this pattern consists of men and women acting out certain roles. It's a pattern that both Greece and Rome followed when they are at the height of their power. But it's even older than these two nations, for it was instituted at creation. It's the biblical blueprint for marriage. If followed, it would ensure stable families and strong, productive nation. To depart from it, as we are increasingly doing today, means giving up our happiness, our health, our prosperity. This book could be subtitled The Science of the Family. For in it, I've attempted to show that the research conducted by behavioral scientists on the family consistently points toward the wisdom of God's original blueprint. We face a crisis today. The family is dying the same death as it did in Greece and Rome. But we have resources available to us in God's Word. It's my prayer that every person become thoroughly educated about God's design for the family and about his or her own crucial importance in the family's functioning. Now, guys, this was written 34 years ago. If there was ever any sign that the American Christian and the American church has become secularized almost to the point of irrelevancy in our culture. As I said, this was written 34 years ago. How do you think we're doing today, 34 years later? There's an evolution of the family in any culture. And when the culture starts, it starts with a trustee family where the family is supreme. The family is everything. The individual really is nothing. It's not about the individual. It's about his adherence to, loyalty to, and commitment to prosper the family in the family name. It's usually run by a patriarch, and if you have a good patriarch, like in all dictatorships, then you're in good shape. If you have a bad patriarch, you're not. So it's not that dictators are bad. It's just most of them are bad, so we hear the word dictator, and it's a negative connotation. But when Jesus is a dictator, I'd say it's good. Yeah, that would be a benevolent dictator. We really don't need to drive this point of the fact that the family is disintegrated. What we want to look at is, what are we going to do about it? The Lord said that to me not too long ago when he said, well, how many times are you going to quote the statistic that 72% of marriages in Orange County are divorcing before you start doing something about it? They say that the family that prays together stays together. And there are amazing statistics for that. 1 out of 1,500 families that pray together break up. And then we got to ask ourselves the question as a church, what happened to family devotionals? What happened to prayer? Why do you have a hard time finding churches and you go, well, what do you like about your church? And you never hear anybody say, well, our church prays. We're a church of prayer. Churches begin to redefine their targets. Church has always been for the body of Christ. It's been for Christians. It's been for God's sheep. When Peter was being restored to ministry, when he had denied the Lord 3 times, went back to fishing, and then Jesus in his human body showed up after his resurrection on the beach, and Peter went running in there, and so Jesus says, hey, let's have some of that fish. Let's eat some of that fish you caught. That means let's have fellowship. And then he asked him the same question 3 times. Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Yes, Lord, I'm your friend. You know I love you. But do you agape love me? And after every time when Peter says, yes, Lord, I love you, Jesus would say, then feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. Tend my sheep. He didn't say herd my goats. He said, take care of my sheep. Now, I don't want to get into any big debates about people and get blogs going and stuff, arguing with people about whether the church is to feed the sheep or church is to make it a comfortable, non-threatening place for goats to come. But I don't think it's supposed to be a non-threatening place for goats to come. I think the gospel of Jesus Christ is supposed to be preached, and that's dead gum threatening. That you're not going to feel comfortable. It never has been comfortable. Even in John 3:16, which everybody knows, if you don't know the Bible, you've heard of John 3:16. Everybody knows that. Most of us have memorized it. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him, and what did he say? Not what? What does that mean? That means you're not going to go to hell if you believe in Jesus Christ. And in John 14:6, he made it crystal clear. I'm the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. That's very threatening. You can't sit there and be comfortable. I was never comfortable in church as a kid. Never. I was always under conviction. And they'd have that altar call at the end. Man, I would just be hanging on. I felt like I was in an airplane that the door had opened and I was hanging there in the door and then my legs were blowing out and I was about to blow off. And please get through singing this altar call. And then they wouldn't. In the Baptist church, they don't get through until somebody walks forward. And so I was a guy walking forward about once a month. But something came in and undermined our church. It undermined the word of God, because when you start trying to make things non-threatening and non-judgmental, that means you can't preach the gospel. That means the Bible is not your friend anymore, because the Bible is crystal clear about sin. All have sinned and fall short. The wages of sin is death. Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed unto man to die once, and after this comes judgment. Well, that's pretty threatening. Threatened me. And so we're afraid we're going to turn people off and they're going to leave and they're not going to come back if we preach the gospel. Well, that's God's business. He told me when I went into the pastorate, you preach Jesus Christ and him crucified and let the chips fall where they may. I'll take care of the chips. I'll take care of people's response. I'll take care of people coming or not coming to Christ. You just preach the gospel and preach the gospel of a crucified Christ, not an uncrucified Christ. Because that's another thing that's come out of this whole thing, is an uncrucified Christ. Well, what's the family doing in the middle of all this? We're taking our families to church and saying, teach our kids to be good Christians. And meanwhile, the kids are looking at the parents and are they good Christians? I had a kid tell me one time, I've watched my dad my whole life growing up. And if going to church is what I'm getting, if that's what I'm going to be, no thanks. Am I going to be like him? He's in church every Sunday. But if I'm going to have to be like him but from going to church every Sunday, if I can't be better than that, then I don't see any worth in it. Men have always struggled to live what we believe, to be the fathers, the husbands that we're called to be. Unfortunately, we have this trait, this human male trait, that if we're not good at something, we don't do it. And we found out early on that when the Industrial Revolution came and men started leaving the home and going to the marketplace and finding their identity in their work rather than in being a dad and being a husband, their primary identity, it started undermining the family. And so men were basically taken out of the home and put in the marketplace and given a man code that says you have to ascend, you have to succeed, you have to be successful, you have to be wealthy. And we bought in. It wasn't like we took a pledge to that one day. We just got swept up in the spirit of the age. We just got into the philosophy and the spirit of the age of those things happening. No one saw it happening. Churches got caught up in it. We need bigger and better churches. And then churches quit growing 25, 30 years ago. They quit growing by conversion growth, people coming to Christ. Because slowly but surely, the gospel wasn't as clear. The gospel that was shared was not threatening. It was pretty much a come as you will, come on your own terms, come when you're comfortable, come if you want to.
More from Pastor Pete McKenzie in a minute. This month, Influencers West Men's Ministry honors wives and marriage. Pete leads Marriage Builders Monday nights throughout March at Voyagers Church in Irvine. Marriage Builders focuses on foundations in marriage, differences, resolving conflict, and communication in marriage. The Bible says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain. Marriage Builders is Monday evenings, 6:30 to 9, throughout March at Voyagers Church in Irvine. Please join us. Influencers West Men's Ministry is Christ-centered, Bible-based, and grace-driven. For more, please call Executive Director Bill Cobble. His cell is 949-910-0966.
But when you ask most guys who grew up with a dad in the home, tell us about your dad, they just go, let's talk about something else.
Back to Leadership Starts at Home with Pete McKenzie of Influencers West Men's Ministry.
And in the home, it's the same thing. If the home is falling apart, somewhere along the line, whoever's leading, anybody know who that might be? The leaders have fallen apart. If we have a country that's fallen apart, it's because the leaders have fallen apart. And leadership takes courage in the home. It takes courage in the marketplace. It takes courage in business. Not just any leadership. The kind of leadership that's going to put right and wrong, good and bad, evil, corruption, ethics, integrity. You're going to need a lot of courage if you're going to take that stand. If you're going to stand in the face of danger and bear up under suffering, and you will have to bear up under suffering if you stand for Jesus Christ. If you believe in a crucified Christ, Paul told his protege Timothy, Timothy, all those who live righteously in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. How can men lead in their home when most men feel emasculated? They feel like women are running everything, and they don't know anymore what their role is in the culture. They don't know where they fit in as a man anymore. That's the undermining of the home. That's where men have left the home. Kids are growing up without dads. So the family has become the most, according to some, you may have heard this quote, outside of all-out war and combat on the battlefield, the family is the most violent place on earth. Family's a place where people have this idea, this expectation, this right that I'm supposed to be loved and accepted for who I am. They think agape love is supposed to happen. See, agape love, the love that God loves us with, he says, I accept you the way that you are, which isn't a blanket approval for all of our mess ups. He's just saying, I see your mess ups and I love you anyway. I've erased all of your offenses. I don't hold grudges. I don't have resentment banks towards you. Well, somehow in the family, we just think that's the way it's supposed to be in a family. I have your best interest in mind. I never make a decision without your best interest being in mind. That's agape love. Some reason we think that should be the way the family is. Some reason we think that's the way the church should be. But it's really hard to find a church that way because churches are made up of leaders who are in families, and families are made up of guys that are like me and you. And so we go to the marketplace to find our identity. See, we have to believe that our best days are ahead of us, and God didn't drop this in our lap to do it because there is no hope. Because you might come to the conclusion that we've crossed a line of no return. We're not going to save this culture. Well, maybe we're not. But it's up to me and you as fathers and grandfathers and husbands to say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. You know, the enemy we're facing today is not flesh and blood. It's principalities and powers of the air that have undermined our homes, our families, and me and you. You may be a guy that's really struggling with pornography today. You may be struggling to find a sense of self-worth because you've neglected most of the things. Just don't seem to be able to get your Bible study stuff going, your quiet time going. You just don't seem to. You might be like that guy that says, you know, I'm over here and Jesus is over there and I just can't get to him. That's what this is all about. God's not interested in beating you up and me up. Matter of fact, he never does that. The devil is the one that tempts you to sin and beats you up when you do. The Holy Spirit never does that. The Holy Spirit is quiet. He knocks on the door. If anyone hear my voice. Well, who could hear his voice? Only his sheep hear his voice. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in and fellowship with him and him with me. We're going to have fellowship if you'll open the door. It's not a lecture like your dad gave you, your drill sergeant gave you, your coach gave you, your wife gives you. It's not that. It's fellowship. And you keep waiting on the hammer to fall and it doesn't fall. See, this crucified Christ is a Christ of grace, unmerited favor, doing good to those who don't deserve it. Why wouldn't you open the door to him? All we're trying to do in the family altar is say, let's get together and give him a chance. Let's give God an opportunity. Let's see what he'll do. Can you believe for a miracle in your own life, in your own wife, in your own home? Can you ask and pray that God wouldn't take sides, that he'd just take over? Because we cannot fix and heal. And the family altar is not about fixing the family. It's about creating an environment, a place where the Holy Spirit is welcome and he can come in and do what he does. Well, see, when you invite the Holy Spirit to come into your home and your heart, you just ask him to come in and do what he does. Transform lives. Bring people to repentance. Bring us to conviction that we might repent and become free and forgiven. To take the sword out of our hand and lay them down. And allow peace to reign in our hearts and in our families. And we believe, God, that God could transform and change. Even with me and Susan. Susan's just got so much going on with women. I've got so much going on with men. We are in a couples. We have been in a couples journey group. And it's been a history of us to always be in some kind of couples small group. Together. Teaching Marriage Builder together. But we discovered that, you know, I'm going this way, you're going this way, we're busy, we love the Lord, you're getting time with the Lord, I'm getting time with the Lord. When are we getting time together? We look forward to this. We need it. Amen. Remember when I told Susan, I think God wants us to move to California? She said, I think you need to think again. I said, okay, if he doesn't change your heart, then we're not going. It took him about 48 hours to change her heart. Not just change it, she got excited about it. Give God a chance. Give him something to work with, especially in this area. And if we don't see the need here, if we don't see that this is the answer to our culture, we were just fighting and trying to put out fires all over the place. This is the answer right here. Let Jesus Christ be Lord of your life as a husband and a father and a grandfather. Let Jesus Christ loosen your home. That's the answer. So the family becomes a light on a hill. And people are coming to us and they're going, what is your deal? And we say, we just let Jesus Christ loosen our home. And he healed it. He made it strong. He helped me understand what a real man is and what a husband and a father is and what he's not.
The Bible says in Joshua chapter 24, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Here's an idea from Pastor Pete McKenzie for you and your house. Read the Bible together, husband and wife, one chapter a night for 6 weeks. See what the Holy Spirit will do in your marriage and your house. A reminder, Pete leads Marriage Builders Monday nights throughout March at Voyagers Church in Irvine. For more on that and Pastor Pete McKenzie's videos and MP3s, go to influencerswest.org and our Facebook page. Worship with men at Influencers West weekly meetings in Irvine, Fullerton, Long Beach, and La Crescenta. Please call Executive Director Bill Cobble for more information. His cell is 949-910-0966. Bill will call you back personally.
Let's lock arms, guys. Let's lock arms. Father, we're just praying right now. That's our commitment. We want to serve you. We want to serve you in our home. Staying together, praying together. In all kinds of storms we'll weather. Trusting in God's word. And Lord, that's what we do this morning. Thank you for these men. Thank you for men who will gather together in the spirit of Christ. Under the banner of your love. And Lord, that we might make commitments trusting you to work in us and through us. We want to give this to you as a gift. Because you've given us our salvation. You've given us the word. You've given us power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we want to give you a chance. We want to give you the opportunity to create within our hearts and in our homes a welcome place for the Holy Spirit, a place where the family can be healed, where people can love each other, where the authority of Jesus Christ reigns. And so, Lord, we'll give you the credit and the glory. We ask for your help. We need your help. We need you to come. We're knocking and we're asking and we're seeking. Thank you that you're the God who cares. Thank you, the God who comes when we're weary and heavy laden, and you'll give us rest. So we come in to enter your rest in Jesus' name. And all God's men said,
amen.
Give them hell, men.
Since my Jesus saving, I've got God's power on my side. Ain't gonna live like I did before, 'cause I'm knocking on heaven's door. I've got Jesus, nobody could want for more. I've got Jesus, and nobody could want for more.
Influencers West Men's Ministry believes when you touch a man for Christ, you impact a family, workplace, and church. Influencers West Men's Ministry is brought to you by ministry-minded supporters and donations.